One of the most sobering truths of our faith is that even a lifetime of virtue is not by itself a guarantee of final perseverance. Did you know that? A lifetime of virtue is no guarantee of dying in the grace of God. Final perseverance is a special gift from God that we cannot directly merit as a reward even for a lifetime of serving God. In fact, with a lifetime of struggling and laboring to do the will of God, we might think the least that God can do for me is to guarantee me that I will die as his friendship. Sorry, my dear, no. I must beg, pray for the gift of final perseverance. And the most important grace which will open the doors of heaven is the prayer that we say when, having received our Lord in Holy Communion, we ask him for the grace of dying in his friendship. We must pray. We must receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. That is why we close every Hail Mary with the invocation, "Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death." And we can obtain the grace of final perseverance. The Church tells us the single most powerful guarantee for assurance of dying in God's friendship is frequent, even daily, Holy Communion. And this is the Church's teaching. And the closer you get to eternity, the more you say to yourself, "Well, I trust I will make it." But we must pray, and especially is the Church's teaching, the single most powerful prayer to obtain the grace of final perseverance is frequent, even daily, Holy Communion. Number 8, growth in the supernatural life. It stands, as I say, to revealed reason that Holy Communion increases sanctifying grace, nurtures our spiritual life, enables us to grow in God's grace as no other means available to us in this valley of tears. Nothing under heaven is a sure and more guaranteed way of growing in the supernatural life than frequent and for us religious daily Holy Communion. However, sisters, there's much more here than meets the eye. Every worthy reception of Holy Communion automatically, infallibly, deepens the life of God in our souls. We become holier just because we have received, and that's why it's called Holy Communion. After all, this is the source of growth in the spiritual life. Sisters, we are not as holy as we practice virtue. We're not as holy as if we are humble. We're only as holy as we possess God's grace. That, in plain language, is holiness. The youngest baby I've ever baptized was 20 hours old. Mother should not have done this. I was in Chicago on a Sunday, giving some lectures. She gave birth to the baby Saturday afternoon. And then she brought the baby. The doctors told her, stay in the hospital. She said, no. She brought the baby to the convent where I was giving the lectures, and I baptized that baby. I repeat, less than 24 hours old. The moment that baby was baptized, less than one day old, that baby was holy. Holiness means possession of grace. That is where we, sisters, look. I'm speaking as a veteran. I think I'm safe. None of you has been religious for 60 years, am I correct? Oh, you. How many? 61 years? 60? 60 years?
60 and 3 months.
Oh, I'm ahead of you. I've been religious 61 years and almost 3 months. And sisters, and this is very practically important. We're in the religious life. We pray. We try to follow our rules. We make mistakes. But we struggle and we try. Then we read the life of, say, a John of the Cross or a Margaret Mary. We look at our own souls. Oh, no. Oh, no. Here I am all these years. I don't see a holy person here. Sisters, even the canonized saints, did you know that? Committed venial sins, did you know that? Only a few specially gifted canonized saints were exempt from committing fully delivered venial sins. We've got to keep telling ourselves, my holiness, my sanctity is not measured by my practice of virtue. And listen, sisters, the more humble we become, watch it, the more humble we become, the less holy we think we are. Am I clear? Any time you think, I've made it, I'm a saint. If you ever wonder why the church does not canonize living persons, sisters, you're in trouble. Holiness, I repeat, is in the possession of grace. And that cloud gives me 2 minutes. Number 9, remission of sin. We touched on this before. Remission of sin. It is part of Christ's teaching that Holy Communion removes both the guilt of venial sin and the depth of pain due to our forgiven sins. This does not minimize the importance and value of the sacrament of confession. But it does mean that in Holy Communion we have a divinely ordained means for the remission of sin on these two levels, on the remission of guilt for venial sin, not mortal sin, and the remission of the temporal punishment, not again eternal punishment, for those sins through Holy Communion. Our duty to suffer, and sisters as sinners, we are all obliged to suffer. Our duty to suffer is lessened by the merciful God. In Holy Communion, we receive the merciful God who exercises mercy every time we receive His body into our body and His soul into our soul. As a result, He makes us less sinful with every communion we receive. And sisters, as we have more sin removed, we become more holy, more holy. My favorite definition of holiness is sinlessness. And it is 4 o'clock, my scheduled time. We meet. See, we have 4:30, we have exposition, 5:30 class to be continued. And sisters, thank you for paying attention and not dozing off. In nomine Patris et Filio, Spiritus Sancto. Gloria Patri et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto. Sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Mater Immaculata. In nomine Patris et Filio, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.